All right, let's pray. Father God, I love you. Spending time with family, Lord, and just some time to focus on you, Lord. It's just we just thank you for your grace and your mercy on our lives, and just the fact that we just stay all the families, Lord. Pray for Miranda. She's starting a new job this week, Lord, that you just bless that, Lord. Pray for that family through just illness, Lord, through cancer, and for everything that you're doing, and knit this class, this family together, to be a part of it. So pray you just speak to us today, in Christ's name, amen. All right, so open up to Genesis 45. But this is my favorite chapter in the entire book. This is by Joseph. And we're finally to the apex. As you go through life, there's a lot of times that you God has a when it's hard to understand, even when it's so there's always purpose behind. It's hard to see sometimes. It really is. It's hard. I did tell you last week if I'm going to wrap up Genesis. I'm kind of go from there. Before then, we have to wrap this. I've been going to ask him again. Yes, so the first question for your life, right? Yes, okay. God has a plan. Yes. God does have a plan for you. The second question is, do you believe that God can use you? Where you're at, whether it's that day, you know, what you're that season of life. Deal with this. Why use you in any circumstance? Whether you're in the pit like Joseph was, circumstance. And the last question to accomplish. Really, the first two questions are tell you the answer is Jesus, right? It's that kind of an answer. The third question. Really, so the outline has went with the chosen child. Then, you know, he gets thrown in. He's in the pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water. I don't know if it was a big pit, a little pit. No water, and from there, he goes to Potiphar's house. Messing around with Potiphar's wife, he's thrown into prison. And then he's in prison. And so, like, bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. That's my life story. Bad thing after I keep thinking I'm right? There's purpose. So he's sold into prison. When the butler come in, he interprets the he's just constantly pouring out. Pouring out. At night, he's thinking, God, He gets called to the palace, interprets Pharaoh's dreams, and you know, about the 7 years of feast and the seven. So his brothers come to town, look born, and that's kind of been the last couple weeks. So last week, just to give you, this is where we're at. So his brothers come to town. Joseph's like, I got one last, you know, together. They still don't know he's Joseph, right? He sends them on their way, over cup, and stay with him. So they all come back, and that's kind of where we're at. Benjamin's older brother, he's like, you know what, I'll take it. And Joseph's like, I'm not having it. Judah gives this explanation of why this place. He doesn't understand that this is Joseph, right? And he gives this long explanation of, you don't understand, our other brother that dad loved a whole lot, and so we can't, I can't leave him with you. Because he's like, he finally sees the somewhat brokenness of his brothers for what they didn't know, but he finally sees the brokenness in that, and if he keeps Benjamin with him, then in turn he's going to put his father in the grave, per se. And so he's at this state of complete brokenness, right? And then that's when you roll into chapter 45. And side note, and you point of complete brokenness. It is when you come to the point of, I can't hold this facade anymore, right? I can't. This is fake. Right? You finally laid down the facade. And that's kind of where he's at. He's at this point of brokenness. Okay, so here we go. I've got three today. And I'm probably only going to call it what it is. So, or viewpoints. Just kind of the apex of Joseph. Starting Genesis 45 and verse 1. It says, then Joseph, and this is why, because he's at this, excuse me, I'm sorry. He's at this, and he finally got. Then Joseph, for all that stood, and he cried. Like, hey, he calls every man to gather. He cried. Emotional. Cause every man to out from me. And there stood no self known unto his brother. And so everybody, his posse, his entourage, whatever he's got at the time, you know, I don't know what they call them, the Egyptian, with him at all times, you know, go out. Joseph and his 11 brothers. Verse. And the Egyptians and all the house of heard, right, to see. Broken. His brother, I. And his brethren could not hear him, for they were troubled as his. And up until this point, they thought he was. The last time they saw this kid, they did, because they thought, well, it's better for us to get some money for him. But at that point, he was gone. Years and years and years, they've lived with this, and now, and he says, I am Joseph. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto said, I am Joseph, your brother. So this kind of shows that they weren't believing him. I am Joseph. And just in case you didn't remember, you think I'm lying to you, he throws this in there. Pulled into Egypt. So a couple things. So the first perspective we're going to see is the center. A couple things. First off, his brothers, they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe it was him because sort of punishment is going to come with this. Because he made sure to throw in into Egypt. Another thing, quickly as I read this, is Joseph, at least this is the way that I read it, doesn't believe that he believes that they sold him into slavery. He honestly believes they weren't leaving me for dead. They liked me. They probably had good reason not to like me. I hired these guys to pull me out of this pit and sell me into slavery. And so where it's at. So he didn't believe, he didn't believe who you left for dead. He says who you sold. Back and they remember the beginning of the story. That's not really.
Are you sure?
What? No, they want.
When Reuben came back and told.
No, they wanted to sell him. That's what they. Then the men already pulled him out and took him. And so there's this brokenness, right? And so the first perspective that I see is sinners, right? About who Joseph really was like. It's been a lot of time, and here he is back. And the words that he says is who you Egypt. Thinking, oh boy, now it's time for us to get ours, right? Right? The same way that your kids feel when dad gets home, right? There's a fear, right? They're elated that their brother was still alive. No, I'm just reading between them. I'm sure there was a different among them. This is the point of a sinner, right? Of a sinner in the world. They feel like that they're always waiting for thing to happen, right? It's a guilt that never. Right? It's the feeling that you get a police officer or a state patrolman jumps behind you on the highway. Crap, what? They're probably getting me for the last time, right? And it's the way that it works out, right? It's that feeling you to finally drop. Instead of being elated, they're once again probably fearing. They think revenge. That's what I would think. I left this guy. He is the most powerful man in the world. Here we are. And not only that, he told everybody to get out because he didn't want them to see what he's getting ready to do to us. That's the way it reads to me. No, simply assume that if given the chance, somehow, right? Sinner in life, just a worldly person in life, to try to cover up their tracks and their lies from the past, and that keeps them. They're so busy covering up this lie that covers that lie. I remember, and it's not worth so caught up in, man, we told dad this story, and we've told along with among brothers who they're covering this thing up, and by this time they don't even this is why it's hard for with Joseph, but this is how it's hard for someone like this in life to get saved. Or it's that easy. They're always waiting for the life for what it really is. It's simply grace. You breathe, it is simply by God, because he has something for you. Right? You're still here. That's why you're still breathing. You might be like, well, God must think you're going to get out of that funk. Because if he honestly thought that you used up all the good that you got, and he's got all of the good out of you, he's going to take you out. He's not going to listen. Point where there's nothing left for you to do, then what Ephesians 2:8, you guys know this. Faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, right? It's the gift. This is what God has given you. It's grace. That's the only thing in this life. You might be like, no, I got a good family and I got a good this and this. No. Lose your job at any time. At any time, you can lose everything you've got. Truly understands how the grace of God works, and they're never going to get past this perspective. Right there. That's where they're going to be. Verse 5. This is where it gets good. Now therefore, be not grieved. This is like the key verse for the entire story of Joseph, of his entire life. Now therefore, be angry with you, for God did send me before. Just think about that for a second. Don't be mad. It doesn't matter anymore. Be not grieved, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. Yet there are 5 years of hearing nor harvest. And God sent me to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great. So now it was. He's given him an out right here. And he hath made me Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. He says, haste ye and go up to your father and say unto him, this day, thy son Joseph, God hath made of all Egypt, come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. For there are yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all thy hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is in my mouth that speaketh unto you. He's like, all of a sudden, speak your language. Verse 13, you should tell my father of all my glory. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and talked to him. That's not how they thought it was going to go down. His brothers thought this was going to go down, right? But that's how it went down, right? The second perspective. Be all we get. I don't know. I was going a godly perspective because that's what it is. You know what? As a Christian, that's the perspective we're supposed to have. That's what we're supposed to have. A Christian perspective. A Christian's perspective is much different than what you would find in the world, right? Well, we say that, but is it? You know, a Christian's life is supposed to look a lot different than. I mean, is it? Although it's hard. a Christian has to see things through God's eyes all the time. The good and a bad person, you have to see the reality in how God could use any situation. All these problems. I've got sicknesses. I've got, you know, people. How do you deal with all that? You have to see things through God's eyes. And that's hard to do. Man, why does God, you know, I don't know. God has a reason. And God's seeing him. A Christian. A Christian sees that. Understand how or why, right? I don't know how this really worked out. I don't know how this, but you know what? At the end of the day, I don't know, and I'm not even talking about all the bad things in your life. Maybe your life is just great. Right? That's all it is. Go back through this and just see how he doesn't take any. He could have said a lot of things to his brothers. There's been a lot of years. Times he had a few things to say to him. This is where this says in verse, "For God did send me before you." In verse 7. And God. In verse 8. God. And he hath made me. It says God had made me Lord. Point. We're seeing things like Joseph did. That you know what? Whether it's good or bad in your life, God's the one who's in control of it. Whether things are really great or whether things really aren't so great, you can use whatever word you want to use. That's God. Well, so that's how God is, right? He just wants to... No, but I think he wants to grow you. I think he wants to mold you, right? Not all of us. It takes me some time. It takes me some suffering. Best way to do this. That was hard. Okay, now I see how God would rather me do that. Every reason in the book to just quit over and over. You know, just have this, I've got the end of the story in mind kind of attitude. You know, king over Egypt. I don't think that's it. But here's what I do. That God was in control. And that God would not call him to do something that he couldn't handle. What's the verse? So we'll do it. Man, you need to remember that one. Faithful is he that can do something that you can't do. It may seem impossible. He doesn't tell you everything he's going to ask you to do all at once. Right? He realizes, looking back, a bunch of tools to throw me. God used Potiphar and his, believe his wife, no matter what, you know. He believes that God down in, right, to interpret. He believes that God called him up at just the right time. There's a reason the butler went back. Until just the right time. If he would have went up there, remember the story when he interprets the dreams for the, and he sends the butler. He says, "Hey, you know," words, but that's kind of how it went down. If he would have went and been like, "Hey, whatever had happened between him and Pharaoh. But hey, there's this Hebrew. Until Pharaoh had a dream that needed interpreting. It's just coincidence, right? That God has a purpose in everything that happens. Right? You people say, well, why do kids have sick, right? Why are the really bad things, you know? Right? Why? A child is at the age of innocence. They're gone with Jesus immediately. They're better off than we are. Let's just call it what it is. No matter what happens, something. He's always maneuvering things to get it done. You might be like, yeah, that's, you know, good, but look around and see how God. That's the only, and that's, hey, I know you guys were really stupid, right? And I've got every reason to and God used it to put me in this situation. And God used that to put me in this situation. You know, and all the times that Joseph could have quit, could have said, forget it, I'm done. You know, like we want to do in our life. I'm done. I quit. I'm keep plugging away. And what happens? No matter what he went through, even back when he was dad, to get things done the whole time. A worldly person sees these things as luck, right? That's what it is. Christian, we have to see things through God's eyes, and here's what it really is. It's God's providence, right? God at the end of the day being in control. And maybe you do believe that, but here's why the world doesn't want to believe that. We I want to think I'm in control, right? I'm a very kind of guy, you know, that's the label. I like to be in control. I like control my own circumstances, vehicle with someone else. I don't like to, I just, any, why? Because I like to be the person that's in control. And I want it to be me who, at the end of the day, decides whether I, or anything, right? And so that's, I'm not. At the end of the day, it's God. We went on to Nepal, and in Nepal, and so we take the and do forever, and then we cross this like suspension bridge, which was crazy in itself. And anyway, so village, and we're talking, when I say remote, like they had the vehicle that they put us in, they had to take apart in pieces and carry and put it back together. Right? That's anything. And so in the back of this truck, and it's like, okay, and like, walking a miles. Okay. So you take off. And at first, and then, you know, a couple minutes into this thing, it gets really, really crazy. All of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're looking down at this, not even wide enough for the truck, down. And it's like, this is right now. Because I want nothing to do with this. This is crazy. I don't want nothing. At some point, you have to realize that you're not in control. And if there was one thing that God showed you, just through that circumstance, but you're just whether you were driving or not, it's going to be. Go back to the three questions, right? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Well, yeah. Do you believe that God can use any of circumstance? Are you willing to be... Well, when you see things through this perspective that you know... Use me. God is going to use these circumstances. God is going to use everything that He brings me to pinpoint down on those. Yeah. Back and you're like, I kind of see why... Believe it or not, God has a plan. It may not be your plan. You may not be a millionaire. It's huge. You may not have. Or maybe you do have those things. God's got a plan. Do you believe that God can use any circumstance? You look back. Joseph was in a pit, and then he was accused of Potiphar's wife, and then he's in prison, and you know, can God use me in the answer? No, I mean, in your, no matter where you're at, work, or at home, or whoever you're around, do you believe you in any circumstance? Because if you believe this plan, be willing, and that's the last question, right? Anywhere. If I have the right attitude, God can do anything. He's got this. Well, question, are you willing to be used by God to accomplish His mission? Are you willing? That's what it comes down to. It's just. You can know that God's got a plan for your life and decide you want nothing to do with it. Okay, God's still got a plan. But if you're not willing to be used, then He's just going to go to the next person. So willing to be used that He suffered through all the things that He shouldn't have had to suffer for. If God had not used Joseph, what did God promise Abraham? It was this covenant, right? There was going to be a land, and there was going to be all these seas, and He knew it all along. Who just had junk to get to this point where he looks back and says, hey, and you know, we're supposed to, our plan, and Joseph sees it and he's like, hey, look, life. See things through God's eyes. And his brothers are like, I can't even. He's like, see things through God's eyes. Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. About the seed that God promised Abraham. God sent. How the Bible starts to build on itself, right? And how he's been telling this story all through Genesis all along, and it gets to this point, and you're like, okay, at this point, he's just telling this story about the. And then he's showing you that. And then the next thing you see is what? Everybody moves down to Egypt, right? So Joseph can take care of them. And they live there. Later, you know, a new Pharaoh comes along, and now all of a sudden he doesn't like the. Slaves, and then people see if, you know, God didn't have to bring them down here. They would have died if they wouldn't have come down. And then he brings them out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, and he shows this great deliverance and their time in the wilderness, and even when they get out of the wilderness, they always look back and say, Egypt. Well, he's not going to bring you there first. God's got this plan. For Israel, Think about the plan for your life. If you can't see how this story, this life of Joseph, doesn't mirror what happened in your thing, and there's everything that happens, every accident that happens, blessing, you know, every child, everything that happens is just another block, and he's, and all you can, and just be faithful with it. Understand why God's got you in a pit, right? It feels like you're in prison. Or maybe you are in prison. I don't know. It's because God has a plan for your life. Maybe you haven't thought about why God has you in the past. Job. Gosh dang it. For your life, right? You have to understand the way this all works out. At the end of the day, you have to understand and believe that we're here for one reason. But it's not to be happy. Right? It's not to be happy. Do things in life that make you happy along the way, but that's not the purpose. But it says thou in honor and power. You didn't. God has created all things, and for that pleasure there are and were created. You're here for one reason, for God's pleasure. God's pleasure is for you to do the will of him. Just spell what it is. Our lives. God is using us all in different ways to preserve life. We've got to keep this in focus at all times. It's just one of those things. You need smack. The gospel is the only thing that will get anybody anywhere. And that's just all there is to it. If you ever get, man, I've heard this story too many times. Can't they find something? Perspective, right? You've got to keep this verse in perspective no matter what, right? You know, I think I heard Tom explain it this way, right? So climbing a mountain, 45-5, way up here on top, right? It's way up here on top. You're looking at it, and you're focused on it, and you're like, this is what I can see it. I can see that God is using me to preserve life. I'm striving for, and you go, and you go, and you go, and then you get to the top. Down to the bottom. And then as you go down, this verse, you don't see it so clearly. By faith, and I'm supposed to be just keeping doing mountain. I can't even see what I'm doing. You can't see it. Again, that's what I'm striving for, right? There. Got that illustration, because not always can you see what you're looking for. You to preserve life. So how are you doing it? Chances that we forget that this chances, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be doing this. Not see what we're going through, right? I gotta work through, right? And all of a sudden your circumstances become, you know, I know it's really but you know, want to do. So, you know, that we just haven't been around for like, you know, 3 years. It's totally understandable. The things, I get it. Tell them, right? It's no big deal. I get it. Life happens. It's the people that you see like once every 3 months and they're like, no, we're all bought into God. You tell yourself, it's your story, right? And so, circumstances in life. God's got a plan. Are you a part of it? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God hath before ordained what you're going to do. Or what you're supposed to do. Are you going to do it? He gave you free. Simply ask you this. What's God? What's the plan that God has for you through the circumstances? Are you preserving life for all of Israel? Probably not. At this point in time. What's God doing you for? He is a pit. Or a prison. What you're doing. Because he's got. They say, I don't know, because I'm not at the end of the story, right? It's easy for Joseph to tell the story. He already knows the end. No matter what Joseph was going. The glory the entire time, right? He never once complained in the pit. He never once was like, Potiphar, I didn't touch your wife, right? And complained, woe is me. Instead, what did he do? He was pointing people back to God, right? Hey, me. It's all because of God. Not because I'm just a really good, leader of your. All the time, he's pointing, even with Pharaoh, he's like, I'll interpret your dream, but guess what? All the time he's pointing back. Every bad circumstance. Every bad thing back to God. Not the bad thing, but, you know, is God getting the glory through it? Now, I don't mean I'm in a pit. It's God. Even when it sucks, even when things are hard, glorifying God through it. Because that's what Joseph was doing. Either I'm stuck in a pit or I'm stuck in prison, so I can't be used by God. We have to have the right perspective because we're full of lost people. Now think about that for a minute. Like I typed this morning and I was like, what? Lost in a world full of lost people. That's not a place to be. Right? That's not a place to be. Do you believe that God? Do you believe that God can use? And the biggest question, are you? You're never going to believe the answer to these questions is simply found. And just simply following God by faith. No matter what you're going through, no matter how good or bad it may seem, Genesis 4, that's where you need to be. God sent you to exactly where you are to preserve. Get through 2 points. The other 2 points, you can read the rest of this chapter. I'm not going to come back to it. I'm like a word about, oh, hey, look, Joseph's family's here, all right? I want to just be a part of it. Next thing is, you know, a skeptic's perspective. They go back and they tell Dad, hey, he's alive. And he's like, are you sure he's alive? Because I don't think. You just got to believe All right, let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for everything that you're doing in the lives of the people. Pray that you would see fit. Because lights in a dark. Bless your word today in Christ's name. Amen.